Welcome to People Pleaser. Welcome to the show. This is it. People Pleaser with Austin Archer. I'm Austin Archer. That's me. Whose voice you're hearing. I'm live on TikTok right now. This is something we're doing lately. I've been doing the show live on TikTok. And as you see from the thumbnail that you clicked on, there's no guest this week. It's just me. We're doing minisodes. We have minisodes on this show, and this is a minisode. This is something I wanted to talk about. The last time I did a live stream on TikTok, somebody asked me, they said, "Hey, are you watching the trial?" And I knew they were, of course, talking about, the trial, the O.J. Simpson trial. Just kidding. I knew they were talking about the Donald Trump impeachment trial. And I said, no, I'm not watching the trial because I know what happens at the trial already. I knew what happens at the trial before it ever began. We all did. I'm watching WandaVision with my partner right now because I'm very intrigued by the premise of the show, and I don't know what happens next, and I'm really excited to find out. And I'm liking delving into the theories on the internet about what's going to happen next and the implications of some of the things that have already happened. If you're not watching WandaVision, you should watch WandaVision because there are some things happening on WandaVision that you got to see if you like the MCU. And if you don't, then I guess this is not for you. But if you do, boy, ooh, boy, oh, howdy. Anyway, I'm watching WandaVision because I don't know what happens. I watched all seasons of Game of Thrones because I didn't know who was going to win that game. And I sure didn't like the way that show ended, but I sure did watch every single one of those episodes to find out. I know how the trial ends. I mean, it's now ended, but I knew how it was going to end, and we all did, before it even began. So why would I spend time ingesting the toxicity of watching those poorly prepared, inane, pointless arguments from those awful defense attorneys? I couldn't help but catch some of it. I saw clips on Seth Meyers. I like Seth Meyers. I like watching a closer look all the time to see what Seth Meyers and his writing staff have to say about things, because I just let the mainstream media do my thinking for me. Thank you very much. I caught clips of it, and the little clips that I saw were like too much. Like, I was like, I'm mad that I saw that now. All of this is to say that for years, someone just asked MCU. Sorry, I live under a rock. I'm not answering questions quite yet in the comments, y'all. I will answer questions in just a moment. But yes, for years, it was kind of my feeling that you shouldn't block people who have different political persuasions than you online, because you should want to be informed on what your opposition thinks and how they think and how they structure their arguments. You should want to be informed on why they think the things that they think. So you shouldn't go around curating your social media feed. And I'm saying this was how I thought for years and years. I made a point of engaging with content that was triggering to me because I wanted to get inside the psyche of those people. And that seemed like a noble pursuit to me, because I was trying to see if I could engage these people by not simply dunking or just, embarrassing them or showing off to my friends who might be watching. I do a lot of that. I definitely do a lot of that. I'm not proud of it, but I do it. And people who are watching on TikTok definitely know that I do that. But I wanted to see if I could engage with these people on a level where it seems like I'm trying to give them some kind of benefit of the doubt, or I'm trying to genuinely understand why they think the things that they think, how they think, how they reason, how they come to the points that they come to. And my point in saying this is why I never used to block people. And I've recently run into sort of a problem in my life, and it's a problem of my own making, because I've trained the Facebook algorithm to show me things that will make me red hot mad. And that's on me. Like, I'm the one who trained the algorithm to do that. I'm the one who told the algorithm to show me those things. But now anytime I log into Facebook, my feed is instantly some meme about how, like I logged on the other day and one of my Trump supporting friends had a meme that said, Thomas Jefferson looking through the Constitution. It was like scouring the Constitution to find the part where you can impeach a president because you don't like him. And I was like, just so triggered through the roof. And I couldn't help myself but comment on it and say, obviously, you know that that's not it, right? Obviously, you know that that's the biggest straw man in the world. Of course, you know that. Of course, you know that the Democrats aren't impeaching Donald Trump because, quote, they don't like him. You know that, right? You have to. You can't go through life not knowing that. You can't go through life actually thinking that they are bringing a full-on case against this guy and what they're going to argue in, you know, the trial in front of all of their peers is we think he shouldn't be able to run for office again and he should be impeached because we don't like him. You know that. And he does, of course. But this is the problem. This is the problem that I'm running into with this philosophy of don't block people because you want to see your opposition. You want to be informed. You want to stay informed on what people are doing. I've run into this problem of I don't actually think I can emotionally handle it. I don't think that it's healthy for me to curate a news feed for myself on my different social media platforms that includes so much triggering material. And my old thought was, well, I need to see that stuff so that I can stay informed. But my new thought is, I am informed. Just like I said, I wasn't watching the trial because I already knew what was going to happen. I already knew there were people out there making memes like the one that I saw on Facebook before I saw the one that I saw and was triggered by it. I already know those people exist, you know? I don't need to actively invite them into my space in order to stay aware of their existence. I'm aware that 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. I'm aware that a shocking majority of those people still believe that he is the rightfully elected president. I'm aware of all of that without having to invite that into my daily space. And I can stay informed on current events and on current goings-on without engaging with those people on a day-to-day basis. Because I actually do believe that I can trust most reputable news sources. I believe that people that I follow on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram whose politics I agree with, I believe that those people will do a good job of fact-checking mainstream media when mainstream media gets it wrong, and that I can trust those people, and that I can trust fact-checking websites, and that I can go through a process of critical thinking and deduction and figure out whether or not a story is being spun so that I'm getting a certain angle on it. Or, you know, I feel like I can do that without inviting these people into my space. I was also afraid of losing my access to, and you'll hear conservatives talk about this a lot, like they'll talk about a diversity of thought. They'll say that academic institutions are overrun by liberals and by the liberal agenda, and that liberals are trying to homogenize the academic experience and you know, eliminate diversity of ideas and diversity of thought, and that that's not a good thing, that you need a diversity of thought if you're going to be a strong critical thinker. And that liberals are trying to censor people and control speech and promote only one way of thinking, and that in order to have a diversity of thought, you need to invite all viewpoints to the debate floor. And so I was afraid of that. I was afraid that, like, if I block people or if I don't engage with people or if I don't, you know, if I run from these conversations or these ideas, then I'm going to homogenize my worldview and I'm not going to have a diversity of thought. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's not true. It's perfectly possible to have an incredibly diverse landscape of ideas and thought within a group of people whom I respect and who I believe are intelligent, critically thinking, serious people, who just bring to me ideas and thoughts that I hadn't had before. And I get that all the time on this podcast. I have friends on this podcast all the time who more or less, you know, it's probably a safe bet that we vote the same way and that our politics are the same, but like they'll come in and bring in ideas and perspectives that I hadn't considered because their experience is different than mine. My friend Kelsey Jepsen was just on this show talking to me about fat phobia and fat acceptance and how she would prefer it if people would talk more and focus more on fat acceptance than body positivity. I thought that the term and that the movement was supposed to be centered around body positivity. And she's very clear in the episode that she's not saying that body positivity is a bad thing or that it's not bad to be positive about your body, but that what's really needed is an acceptance of fatness and the fact that like people are fat and that we need to accept that and stop being so shame-based around that and letting our fear dictate how we engage with that and, you know, changing that wording to fat acceptance. Like my friend Stevie came in and I was sharing with him and this thought that I had heard online about, statistics of fatherlessness or single mother households in the Black community. And I was talking about, could it be a ripple effect of, generational emotional trauma. And this was based on like a tweet that I read from someone else. And Stevie was like, oh, that's interesting. Or it's just like them being physically yanked away from their families. And then he also went into the ways that those statistics are manipulated and abused to push a certain narrative. And he illuminated the point further than where I had even gone with it. So my point is that I'm getting a diversity of thought. I'm getting my ideas challenged from within my group of like-minded friends. And I'm constantly getting like-minded friends who I respect and whose intelligence I respect coming in for a discussion on the podcast or just for, talking on the phone, who challenge my way of thinking. And so you don't need to seek out people who believe that, Jewish space lasers caused wildfires in California to have a diversity of thought. You don't need to also ask the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world what they think. And you don't also need to ask, the QAnon people of the world what they think in order to make sure that you have a diverse intellectual palette. And I mean, God, you want to talk about diversity, the funny thing about it is, there is no more diverse place. If we're going with the binary of politics in the West, and we're going to say just the binary of left and right, that it's obviously more complex than that. But you see that way more evidently on the left than on the right, because when you get into the binary left of political viewpoints in, say, the U.S., it's by far a more diverse landscape than the binary right of political thinking in the U.S. The binary right is, by and large, I mean, of course, this is a generalization, but majority Christian, white, heterosexual, cisgendered people. Just by a massive majority. Of course, you can find trans people who are politically conservative. You can find gay people who are politically conservative and people of every race who are politically conservative. But by and large, overwhelmingly, they are a more homogenized group, whereas the political left, the binary political left, it's even weird to a lot of people on the binary political left are like, they don't even feel comfortable being like, I guess I'm a liberal or a lefty or whatever, because it's such a more diverse landscape of different religious viewpoints and different spiritual practices, different gender identities, and the majority of non-cisgendered people, the majority of non-heterosexual people, the majority of people who aren't white are going to be aligning politically left on a ticket. So you're just going to naturally in that space have a wider diversity of thought. So it's funny that the warning of you're censoring us and you're cutting yourself off from our diversity of thought comes from the right. But the reality is they're talking about their specific viewpoint getting censored and left out of the conversation. This one specific viewpoint and completely looking past the fact that in this other camp that they oppose, there is already a wonderfully diverse bouquet, shall we say, of ideas. There's that too. So I'm calling this episode In Defense of Echo Chambers Because I used to think if you block everyone that you disagree with, and if you get rid of everyone in your life that has a political opinions that you find abhorrent, you're going to be screaming into the void or into an echo chamber, and you're only going to be getting back, you know, what you already agree with, and that's not going to be healthy for your worldview. I am starting to think maybe not. I don't know, y'all, but I'm starting to think maybe not. I'm starting to think that in today's world, it's kind of impossible not to know about the ugly reality of white supremacy and Karens and all manner of MAGA hat wearing folk and people across the entire world with all sorts of ancient, outdated beliefs. You know that this stuff exists. You can't help but run into these people as you go through life. In trying to curate daily active spiritual health, which is hard and difficult and requires daily vigilance, maybe it's not the smartest thing in the world to knowingly invite stuff into your space that's going to poison your outlook on the day and that's going to make you feel hopeless and dark and sick. I don't know. That's my thought. That's my thought for this week. That's what I wanted to talk about in light of, you know, Republicans acquitting and doing what we all knew they were going to do. It's like, I didn't need to follow that. I didn't need to stay up on that to know that that's what was going to happen. Let's go to the questions. Okay. Someone asks, Ryan Hafey asks, are you on Clubhouse? I have no idea what Clubhouse is. No, I'm not. Is Clubhouse maybe a podcast platform? I don't know. It was Friday. My homie, it was Friday, says, the irrational must be removed from rational discourse if the discourse is to be rational. I think I get what you're saying there. It's kind of the no sense in arguing with idiots thing. Like they've got a lot of practice at it, and they're going to just wind up bringing you down to their level. Yeah, it's sort of like I talked about this in the episode with Cooper Howell on the Capitol Siege, 1621, if you haven't listened to that episode. We talked about how what we're really seeing here with the right and with Trumpism is a breakdown in the ability to think critically. And when you're engaging with someone, hoping that they'll be able to think critically about the arguments that you're positing to them, but the basis of what you're contending with is something that clearly demonstrates a lack of critical thinking ability and a lack of rational thinking, you're sort of entering into a losing situation, hoping for a miracle. And I've been finding lately that what's more useful for me is putting out content and being like, I can say what I think and say my piece with a funny song or a skit or a podcast and leave it at that. I don't need to engage one-on-one with trolls in comment sections. Who are irrational and incapable of critical thought. I don't know. Let's keep going for more questions. Ruby Megs says, emotion has a bandwidth. It shouldn't be wasted on things we cannot change. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what we were just talking about. Nico Skava says, you aren't funny. Thank you, Nico. Very much so agree. And just trying to keep it real serious over here. So I appreciate that compliment. I am trying to make sure that it's not funny over here, trying to keep it real serious and talking about politics. So if you see any of my videos and you laugh, please do not. Thank you, Nico. Let's go to... Oh, Nico Skava has another question. What's it like to be so overwhelmingly stupid? So this is actually a really good question, and it goes to kind of the whole point of this episode, which is like, I could spend the rest of this episode engaging with Nico and not engaging with everyone else who's actually got like reasonable, like smart, intelligent things to say. But like, I don't really need to engage with Nico to know that people like Nico are always going to be there in the comment sections. You know what I mean? Like, and that's sort of been my response lately to people like Nico is like, I used to actually try to like answer their questions or like respond in a way where I'm like, I will try to respond in a way where you can understand my logical point of view. But it's like, there's no point in that. So I'm very much somewhat more dismissive of them and just sort of accepting of the fact that, like, you exist. And of course, Nico has, like, no profile picture. Like, that's the kind of person that does this. No profile picture. If you go to their profile, they usually have, like, zero or, like, five followers. And their accounts are usually private. It's just, like, cowards in their basement. And so they're really not worthwhile. And I've probably actually spent too much time on it. But I think it is good to illustrate the point of what we're talking about. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Nico. Samantha says, I've done the same and removed all troll Trumpers from my social media feed. Yeah, Kelsey was talking about this in the Confronting Fat Phobia episode. And she talked about how the way that she started accepting her own body and accepting the way that she looked and accepting the fact that she's a fat person and accept, like, the way that she did this is she looked at pictures of fat people until she no longer felt disgusted or ashamed. And she started curating her social media feed to be something that was going to be uplifting to her to look at, that was going to be empowering, that was going to make her feel motivated and make her feel not ashamed of who she is. And I don't know, I heard that and it's like this switch clicked where I was like, I've been curating my social media feed to show me things that are going to, like, make my blood boil and to show me things that are going to encourage my worst aspects of my nature to come forward and encourage me to engage with people who really aren't worth the engagement. And I've been doing that. I've been curating the algorithm to show me that. I don't think it's a bad thing, actually, to curate your feed to, like, you're going to run into these people. These people are not going to disappear. Like, you're going to run into these people. We don't need to, like, go out of our way to actively invite them in, you know? Let's see what else here. You have gnome idea. I like that screen name. You have gnome idea. G-N-O-M-E. You have gnome idea. Says, were you an honor student? Yes, I was all through high school. And then every semester that I was in college, my GPA steadily went down. I smoked a lot of weed in college. And that's the end of that question. let's see what else we got here. So Samantha asks, but if we all remove ourselves, who will correct them? Yeah, man. So that's kind of like, it goes back to my original reasoning was like, somebody's got to be the gatekeeper for these people, or somebody's got to be there to, like, to correct these people or to let them know when they've misstepped or when they've, like, I was doing it, trying to do it from a place of compassion of being like, maybe these people truly are just genuinely confused and I can help if I can try to have some kind of, like, engaged discourse with them. And I still have that feeling of like, someone's got to let them know, but we're assuming a lot. Here, we're giving them a lot of credit and assuming that, like, they'll be able to have a productive conversation where they're going to be able to, like, recognize that you're, like, respectfully checking them and saying, like, hey, that's wrong. You need to do better than that. And that they're going to go, like, you know what? Actually, thank you for pointing that out. And those people definitely exist. There are people who are capable of, like, being told that they're wrong and changing their minds. I've seen it happen many, many times. It's happened to me many times in my life. But yeah, I feel like those conversations will also, like, make themselves manifest. And those kinds of people will see what you're saying without you having to seek them out, you know? Because seeking those people out, I think, really opens up the floodgates algorithmically to the Nikos, you know? And, like, I see Nico coming in here and I'm like, I've invited that with a lot of my engagement in my content, you know, and I he's not going to be the last person to come in here and do that. But it's, yeah, I don't know. I'm only going back and talking about that guy more because I think it's a fantastic example of what we're talking about here. Mr. Elot says, hey, fellow TNB bro here. Talking about TNB. You know I like TNB. I'll talk about TNB anytime you want. The Utah Jazz, I challenged them to do a TNB video recently. I was on TV in Utah, and I was like, hey, the Detroit Lions did a turtleneck and blazer video, and I don't even like the Detroit Lions. The Utah Jazz are my favorite professional sports team. If they could do a TNB video, I would really like it, and they haven't even responded. So they're just too busy being the best team in the NBA to make a TNB video, and that's fine. Sickly Satan says, I really appreciate the way you word things and your input on these subjects. Well, thanks. You should listen to my podcast if you don't already. I do a weekly podcast. We're doing it right now. This is it. You're listening to it. Let's see where you go. Jordan the Hunt, 1986, says, are you and I the same person? Because I think we are. Well, almost, Jordan the Hunt. I was born in 1988, so very close. But if we were going to be the same person, we're just off. Close, though. It Was Friday again says, they have to admit to addiction to beliefs and be willing to heal and learn. Addiction to beliefs. Fantastic. Cooper said in the January 6th episode, he said addiction to comfort. I like that too. Beliefs and old beliefs and things like that are a source of comfort when discomfort arises. And discomfort happens when beliefs are challenged. So yeah, a certain addiction to beliefs, like a certain addiction, like, I mean, honestly, it's manifest in the way that an entire, you know, almost 75 million people, an entire group of people can go along with the idea of there is only one acceptable outcome to this election where there are two main candidates running and two people could win. But in their minds, there is only one acceptable outcome. Donald Trump wins, and if he loses, it was fraud. And that was a decision that was made before anything ever happened. And it wasn't just Donald Trump who said that. It was everyone was like, if he loses, it's because cheating happened. And when that happens, yeah, you see that addiction to belief where it's like you're not willing to be open to the possibility that there's even a world in which you could have just lost fair and square, which means that when we start having debates about whether or not you lost fair and square, we're not playing on equal footing. We're not playing by the same rules because your rules are I'm right no matter what. No matter what you say, no matter how many times you debunk my evidence, no matter how many times you go, oh, actually, that video that you have of people pulling out boxes of ballots, they've actually talked about that in Georgia. They said that they put the ballots away under those tables and were done for the day, and they were told to go back to work, and they came back into the office and pulled those ballot boxes back out, and that's all that video is. No matter how many times, like, people break this stuff down to you and explain to you why your evidence, and I'm using air quotes for the people listening at home, why your evidence isn't actually evidence and isn't actually real, you won't accept it because your mind was made up before we started having the conversation. And that happens when you have conversations with people about their religion. That happens any kind of situation where you have people who have, as It Was Friday says, an addiction to belief, who are rigid, who aren't willing to accept new evidence. You're not playing on equal footing. You're not in a situation where you have the opportunity to say, let's go point for point and see whose argument wins out. So that's another problem with thinking who's going to check these people or who's going to let these people know. It's like, well, it doesn't really matter because they're not open to being checked or being told that they're wrong. Their minds are made up. I like this. Wife and Mother Life says, I think we are all thinking the same thing, LOL. Which is funny because this episode is going to be called In Defense of Echo Chambers. So yeah, like we might kind of be sitting here in an echo chamber in this live. If you just came in, Wife and Mother Life, or anyone else, we did have at least one person in the chat who isn't thinking the same thing as all of us. And that was fun. We had a little moment where we got to talk to someone else. And that was really fun. But yeah, this is in defense of echo chambers. Like, this is our space. This is like me and you. Like, I'm your pal Austin. I'm your buddy online. Like, this is our space to have this conversation right now amongst each other. You know, and anyone who wants to come in here who disagrees with us is totally welcome, but they have to be willing to do it, like, in a way where they're open to actually having a conversation. It has to actually, like, be clear that they're asking genuine questions out of genuine curiosity and that they're genuinely open to the possibility that they might not be right. 'Cause if that's not the case, then there's literally no point in engaging with those people. The only reason I engaged with the person that was in the comments is because it illustrated the point of the discussion that we were having. But it's funny that you say, yeah, I think we're all thinking the same thing. It's like, yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully we're all agreeing in here. Otherwise, it's like, boy, if you're in here and you're like hating everything I'm saying, then you're spending a lot of time. Jujubee4200 says, is that a giant microphone? If this is your first time listening to People Pleaser or watching one of the live streams, I do have a gigantic microphone shield that I put around my microphone. And my guests, because I do my interviews over Zoom now, and my guests are always like, what are you talking into? Because it looks like a giant cartoon, like Dick Tracy microphone. And it's really just a normal size microphone with this giant foam casing around it that sort of takes out the sound of the room that I'm in so that it sounds nice and pretty for you when you listen to it on the podcast, which drops Wednesday night. Yeah, so thanks for pointing out the the microphone. JHMMMMMF says, it's so you can make out with the microphone, huh? And no comment. That's my response to that. How dare you? And no comment. I won't respond to those slanderous accusations, frankly. Those libelous, frankly, accusations. I could sue you for that, for saying that I make out with my microphone, just so you know. But I won't. Okay? So watch yourself before you botch yourself. That's an Austin Archer People Pleaser original. I'm trying, says, how do you decide who you want to interview? It was in two different comments. It says, how do you decide who you want? And I was like, what are you asking? And then another comment, how do you decide who you want to interview? I do have a lot of friends that I just like talking to, that I'll like reach out to and be like, you're a good person to talk about this, this, or this. My friend Stevie McFly, on the last episode that we're talking about the police, like, I knew Stevie would kill that conversation, and he does. He kills it. Sometimes people reach out to me and say, like, I'm really smart about this stuff, or I know a lot about this, and, like, I'll do that. So, like, if you want to be on the show and, like, you specialize in a particular area, you can reach out to me and let me know. It doesn't guarantee that I'm going to have time for it, but, like, yeah, you can reach out to me. I'm totally open to having anyone from anywhere on this show. Oh man, Hugh Lindsay is here, you guys. Hugh Lindsay is my buddy. I did Hugh Lindsay's podcast a while back, and I need to get Hugh and his wife on my show. He's got a podcast called something Talks and Poppycock. It's like Smart Talks and Poppycock, or Big Talk and Poppycock? I can't think of it right now, Hugh. I'm so sorry. But Hugh's here, and Hugh asks, what are your hair goals? Also, hey, Hugh, what are my hair goals? I'm trying to rock this hair that I've got going for like a while. I like this hair. And I'm also trying to keep it like around this length. So I have to trim it like once every like 3 weeks to keep it here. I don't like it much longer, and I don't like it much shorter. Like, this is like the sweet zone, is just like an inch or two above the shoulder. But I've been liking this. I've been liking this look. It's very, it works for me. I'm liking it. I'm liking how it matches my facial hair. I'm going to stick here for a minute. I have no immediate plans to change anything. Thank you for asking, Hugh. This is a good question. El Deuterino to you, great screen name, says, I think a lot of us came to the same place regarding social media. It is what you make it. Sorry, I thought it was a question saying, is that what you make of it? And I misread it. It says, it is what you make it. Yeah, and you're sort of seeing that with TikTok too. I have a lot of people reach out to me in DM on TikTok who are like new to the platform, and they'll say something like, so after years, I got off of Twitter, or I got off of Instagram, or I got off of Facebook, and I came here, and they're like, is it just me, or are things a little bit more positive over here? And I'm like, no, it's not just you. It is more positive over here. There are still absolutely awful people on TikTok, like plenty. Like, there are still lots. Go over and watch my video about basketball and about, like, basketball players, like, wanting to support Black Lives Matter, and just, like, look in those comment sections, and you'll see them. They exist here. But the platform as a whole, it's still young. And so, like, it's still in its innocence where, like, people are being a little nicer to each other over here, which is really cool. But yeah, I think you're also seeing TikTok has a very, like, you really can curate your life on this app and what you see. And it's teaching people more and more that you can do that on other apps as well and on other platforms, that you can, like, it's okay to curate what you want to see and to eliminate the toxicity. Yeah, so I agree with you. This is a good question. Copacetic, let me get back there. Copacetic says, are you ever afraid or do you get threatened when you challenge others' political beliefs? Afraid or threatened? Yeah. It's not a good feeling, to be honest. And that's sort of what this whole episode is about, is like, I can't stop myself from doing it a lot of the time. I can't stop myself from jumping into the comment sections and saying something. But yeah, there is this feeling. There's this feeling, this fear of like being misunderstood, or like, what if in my anger, I can't help myself and I resort to just like a slew of ad hominem arguments, which has happened before. Where like a person's just making me so mad that I just call them like a fucking moron over and over again. And I'm just like, you're so fucking stupid. You're so stupid. You're too stupid to be talking to other adults in public life. You're so fucking stupid. And I say that over and over again. And it's like, that just like corrodes my spirit and my heart and my soul. But I do like, I'm, you know, so I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid that that will happen. I'm afraid that like, I won't be able to remain calm and won't be able to continue to articulate cogent points. I'm not necessarily threatened by a lot of the people's opinions that I engage with. I'm more just like appalled by them and terrified of them. So I'm afraid of that too. I'm afraid that like these people are like so prevalent and there's so many of them. Very afraid of that. But yeah, I don't think threatened. I don't think threatened is the right word. Afraid that I'll say the wrong thing and afraid that these people exist. Yes. Yeah. So, or afraid that like I'll get into a conversation that doesn't really like concern me, like a conversation that's like not about me, conversation about like, you know, a marginalized group or something like that, and I'll say something wrong, you know? I'll be like trying to do the right thing and I'll misspeak and put my foot in my mouth. So, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I'm trying asks, what question do you wish someone would ask? I wish someone would just ask, how's Austin? Just kidding. Don't ask that question. I'm fine. I don't know. I think you guys have been asking fantastic questions so far. So thank you. What question do I wish someone would ask? I wish some of these people would like ask like genuinely, why do you think I think the things I think? I'm so scared that my brain has become the way that it is. Why do you think I became this way? It'd be a great question to get from someone. They're like, come to you and they're like, what happened to my brain? Why am I this way? And you're like, oh, it's okay. I think you got kind of like pulled into a dangerous cult of personality and it appealed to a lot of internalized fears that you have about losing power and status in society. And you sort of signed over your morality to it as a result of that. And then you were so deep into it because you had really like signed over your like whole sense of self to it, that then every time that cult of personality did something that was counter to your value system, you just sort of repressed that. And that repression made you more scared and more mean and vitriolic. And I think that's what happened. But I don't think anyone's ever going to ask me that question. So I'm glad that you said, what question do you wish someone would ask? So I got to answer that hypothetical question. That was very fun. Garbage Hair says, okay, when are you going to be a talk show host? You're at my talk show, Garbage Hair. This is it. But I don't know. You know, when they see me. When they see me, that's the answer. Let's just keep doing our thing. Let's just keep doing our thing on TikTok. We're doing fine. Let's keep doing our thing. Keep listening to the podcast. Keep showing up to the Sunday Live show. We're doing fine. I'm in no rush. We're fine. El Dudorino, back at it again, says, how did you get the McDonald's commercial? I auditioned for it and I got a callback, and then I did another callback, and then I booked the commercial. Thank you for asking. Which I live in Los Angeles. I have a commercial agent who submits me to things like that. So that's how. Thank you for the question. PolyPry3 asks, what is your favorite TikTok song that you created? It's a good question. I'm really fond of You're Not Getting Bullied, to be honest. I like all of them. They've all been really, really, really fun to make. But that, like, early one, God, I don't know what it is about, like when you first start doing something that you sort of, like, you can't really replicate that, like, first hit of, like, oh, that's it. That's what I need to start doing more of. And You're Not Getting Bullied, I think, is, like, it's so applicable to so many different situations, because that's really what happens in these comment sections, is people, like, once there's nothing left for them to say and their argument has been dismantled thoroughly, they always default to the victim stance of, like, well, you're just attacking me. You know, you're just bullying me because my opinions are different. You're just canceling me. And it's like, you're not getting bullied. You're not getting canceled. You're getting consequences. You picked a fight. You're losing the fight. You know, you're receiving consequences for your actions. Has Sauce 18 says, am I going crazy or did I see you in a commercial? You're not going crazy. You have no idea says, do you ever worry someone will ask you which question you would like asked? All the time. That's one of my biggest fears, actually. So thank you for letting me voice that. Whew, feels good to get that off my chest. Cool. I think that we've thoroughly gone through the topic for the mini-sode. I'm going to stop recording for the podcast, but let's stay in the live a little bit longer. If you're just joining us, we do this every single Sunday. We go live on TikTok and I do the intro and outro to my weekly podcast, People Pleaser with Austin Archer. This week I'm doing a mini-sode and we did a little bit of a longer question and answer section. Thank you for everyone for answering thank you everyone for asking questions for me to answer. I can talk. That's the podcast this week. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music at austin-archer.com or by going to Apple Music or Spotify, searching Austin Archer, or going to my Bandcamp, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. If you're ever going to buy my music, buy it from Bandcamp. Don't buy it from anywhere else, because the other places don't give me any money, and Bandcamp gives me money. So go to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. The show is mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. He's the best. If you got an audio project that you need mixed and mastered, go to themarmalademusic.com and hit up Chris. Tell him that you heard about him from me, and he'll give you 20% off your first project. Themarmalademusic.com. That's the show this week. Everyone stay on. We're going to keep talking in the live. Love you all listening at home. Take care of yourselves. Wear your masks. Bye-bye.